Okay, let's bring it back together and get down to item nine here. And this is the quiet title agreement with between Story County and Comstock Mining. And who wants to kick off on this one?
I can go ahead and get it there so everybody can hear me.
This is confusing, so pay attention.
Well, it is to a degree. Probably a couple of months ago, or a month and a half ago, Comstock Mine sent me and Vanessa a letter basically setting forth their position on all of the land that's involved in this stipulation. Basically, the situation is that sometime in the 1870s, and it may have been earlier, a little bit later, people, if you had a mining patent at that time, and then somebody came in later and established a town site, and keep in mind that the mining claims to mining land and town site claims are filed with the federal government. So if you, and they were back then too, so if you go in there and you say file a mining claim, or and then later get it patented, it's all filed with the federal government, and someone can come in the very next day after you make a claim and make the same claim, and the federal government doesn't care. So if a dispute then arises, then everybody goes to court and resolves who is first in time and first in right. Well, there were some patents, or if there were areas in which it was recognized that there were minerals in the land, once that happened, around the 1870s, Congress passed a law that said mineral patents had priority over anything else. And in fact, if they gave a mineral packet, I don't think so. No, I know I don't, Dale. Once there's a mineral patent or minerals were located, after that, if someone tried to establish a town site.
Dale.
Once somebody tried to establish a town site, there was nothing left if there'd already been a mineral patent. If there'd already been a mineral patent established. So bottom line is there were a lot of town sites that were established down in Gold Hill and along Highway 342 that were filed that really weren't valid. And some of the court cases say the federal government can't give a town site when it's already given a patent. So CMI pointed out to us that a lot of these locations down there that we had, what had happened 60 to 73 years ago, somebody had not paid their taxes, so we ended up with tax deeds. And in fact, there wasn't really anything to get a tax deed against because the underlying land was a mineral patent, so there should never have been a town site established on top of a mineral patent. Am I explaining that right, Brian? Okay. In any event, so we got these tax deeds, and there's a process that you have to go through to get a tax deed. And if you don't go through that process, and then you go to sell the property, someone who has an interest in the property, who hasn't received notice, can come in and stop that sale. And essentially that's what happened. The county was involved in a couple of suits here a few years back, in probably 2003. It was a situation where Virginia City Ventures, what had happened is that we did a tax sale and we sold, we took over some property. We then turned around and traded that property to, in this case it was Lorraine Dufresne, and so we took possession of the property we traded it for, and we put a septic tank on it. Well, then along comes Virginia City Ventures and said the county never owned that property because they didn't follow the proper process in acquiring title to it. And all of that went to court, and the court agreed with Virginia City Ventures, said they're right. So we had to take the property back from Lorraine Dufresne and eventually settled with her to pay for her damages from everything that had happened. So we have a history of when we don't have the appropriate proof that we went through the process we should have gone through, even though we've acquired a tax deed, if we're confronted with that, it's useless for us to contest that. And that's basically the situation down in Gold Hill. First of all, it's unlikely that if someone actually went through the process they should have, we don't have any record of it because it all occurred 60 to 70 years ago. So if someone comes in and says, we own that property, you don't, in order to show that we do, we have to show them that we went through the proper process. In this case, we can't, because even if they did go through the process, we don't have documentation to prove it. So for that reason, CMI, when they first came to me, suggested that we just quick claim the property back to them. And the problem we have there is the people that we took the property from, we don't know. Right now, on all of the pieces of property, it's got unknown. So even if we were to quick claim it back to who we took it from, we'd have to quick claim it back to unknown. And then underlying that, these unknown persons that we took the property from really didn't own it in the first place, because what they'd done is they'd established the town site, and the mineral patent takes precedence over the town site. Because the patent had already been granted, there was no authority to issue the town site. So for that reason, I suggested to Comstock Mining that the way to get this all resolved is to just file a quiet title action. We're not going to contest it because we don't have any basis upon which we could contest it. And as an attorney, I'm, you know, the question's been asked, well, can't we contest this? Well, I can't file a pleading that I don't have a good faith belief has some validity. And in this case, for two reasons, we don't have any good faith bases upon which we can assert title to these properties that are in question. And so what we've done is we've entered into an agreement stipulating, yeah, it's your property, which doesn't take care of the issue of the town sites versus the patents, but that'll get resolved in the quiet title action that's been filed in the district court. And CMI has agreed to pay us $19,000 for any back taxes that might have been owed. We kind of arrived at that figure as an accommodation, because otherwise we potentially would have had to go back 60 years, figure out what the tax amount was each of those years, and calculate that forward. And this is a pretty good approximation of what that amount would probably be without having Vanessa spend hundreds of hours, literally, trying to do it. So that's why we've entered into this stipulation. They've agreed to pay $19,000. It clears up the title down there, because what the court will do is the court will issue deeds. And that deed going forward, if you were to get a title search, whenever you've quieted title, a title searcher will go back, and once they find something like this where there's a deed out of the court, it's basically the court saying, I've looked at this, and I find that these people own this property, and here's the deed to it. So that's what we've got going on with this stipulation. The suggestion that we put these up for auction or that other people be allowed to bid on them, we don't own them to do that. So I think Mr. Toll, in his letter to the commission, suggested that we put these out. That's what you would normally do in a tax sale, is you put it to auction, and then whatever monies come in first get applied to the delinquent taxes, and any other monies go to the person who owns the property. In this case, we don't have a legitimate claim to that property. So it would be ridiculous for us to go to a tax sale. And we've got a recent history of a situation where we did something like that, and were taken to court and lost, ended up paying some attorney's fees for having done it. So it'd be ridiculous for us to even try to assert that we have any interest in that property down there. Does anybody have any questions?
What's You fellows want to say anything on it at all, or?
I think what they're here for is if there are any questions that are asked.
Austin, you have anything you want to add? Okay, so we'll take comments, then. Go ahead, Dale, come on up.
Yes, my concern is what's the prevailing rate down there for lots equal to these?
For what?
For lots equal to these. Somebody owns lots down in that neighborhood.
Well.
You come to my neighborhood and there's a, what the land's worth. Okay, but let me talk, and then my time's running over there.
I'm not going to.
Okay, my ancestors, my grandma and grandpa owned about 4,000 acres in Montana. And we sold that land, but we kept the mineral rights. So he's saying that this mineral rights supersedes. Well, you can have a town. I think Virginia City's sitting on a bunch of mineral rights that other people own underneath. And they own the law, but they don't own that what's down underneath. So that doesn't sit well with me. And we've got this brother-in-law deal with the mine. And I would like to establish a value of those lots and ask them in good faith to throw in the price of those values that those lots, because they want to take them and use them. Okay, just want to give them to them.
No, we're not giving them.
They're given $19,000.
They're given $19,000 because that's the number that we came up with, rather than have Vanessa go through 60, 70 years of records to try to determine.
Take some good advice from somebody that's been in business a long, long time. Establish the value of those lots. They'll pay it. If somebody owned that lot, they'd have to pay the prevailing rate.
Okay. The county doesn't own those.
Turn the time off. He's talking.
We don't own the property, so we can't sell it.
Yeah, we don't own the
property.
Bottom
line. And Mr. Beach's comment about there are town sites in Virginia City and some in Gold Hill that were established before the, well, first, at one time you could establish a town site or patent. But at one point, I think it was Congress, said no, mineral patents take precedence over town sites, so if we've given a mineral patent, we don't have anything left to give. So yes, he's right, there are town sites in Virginia City that were established before the mineral rights were given. We have this same problem right now with a lady named Roberta Webster down at the cemetery. We have a tax deed for a piece of property that, again, just like this, we don't own, because first of all, our ownership would be of a town site that was established after the patent was granted, and therefore it doesn't exist. So we don't own the property, so we can't make somebody buy it from us. Well, even people in Montana, well, they might in Montana sell property that they don't own.
Some of my real money comes off that oil that's still drilling up there, and yeah, they'll pump it.
Could be.
So I'm very familiar with mineral rights. I don't own any land up here, never did. But my grandpa and grandma was smart enough when they sold the land to keep the mineral rights. That's passed right down through the generation.
Hopefully they owned it before they sold it.
Well, evidently they did. But it looks to the public, we the people, we're giving them a special deal. We can hire somebody, anybody. Why don't we ask them to hire somebody to appraise those lots? Wouldn't they be a good neighbor and pay that rate?
Well, if you'll calm down for just a minute, I'll tell you again. We did this a straight-up deal. They don't owe us any back taxes on it either. And we are not in the position to charge them anything because we do not own that land.
I understand that, Mr. Chairman, so you don't have to tell me over three times. Ask them as a good neighbor, get them up with the value of that land. If they're buying it from Joe Dokes that owned it down the street, if those properties that they want so bad were owned by me and the four or five people here, right, they'd pay the rate.
Okay. This is a
good, that's all I want to talk about on that issue.
All right. Well, it's a good discussion to get into, because I think that this will allow the public to understand what's going on. Let's say we came up with a price of a couple of million dollars, and they said, no, we're not going to pay that.
Okay. Go up the road. Now, if they did
get, well, no, they'll go to court.
Well, that's good. That's good. I think it's
You've been there, haven't you?
Oh, absolutely. But here's the deal. Right now, we've got $19,000 in this hand. Why would we want to go to court knowing upfront we're going to lose the court battle?
Okay, if you ask them to, as good neighbors, to pay the prevailing rate of those lots, they will. They're not the greatest thing in the world with we the people. I don't have anything personally against it because I'm construction and mining is all I know. But there's a lot of people that don't want them. And they can spend some money good here, get some good bucks. Yeah. I got to sit down and look at my back.
No, you're fine.
Let me make it absolutely
all right,
clear. We don't own that property. They do own it. So I don't know what they do in Montana.
They do own it. So.
But
they own the land and what are we selling them?
We're not selling them anything.
They already own the land.
The $19,000 is for back taxes. It's not for purchase of the land. They already own the land.
Did they buy the land recently?
No, they've owned it for a long time.
They already own
and
it.
That's what the court will establish.
Yeah. And that's what the court will tell you.
I'm sure you, and I am a little slow, but I do understand. Janet wants it.
Sure, come on in.
It's going to get dark. I'm going to have to go and beat my dog.
While Ms. House comes forward, I do want to add, Comstock Mining is being a good neighbor. They're under no obligation to pay the $19,000 in back taxes. It wasn't, as this was being worked out through legal counsels and through Vanessa, myself, and Mr. Joel Cover, you know, we opted to ask, you know, would you, just as a gesture of good faith, consider some payment of the back taxes, and they're paying based on the calculations that Vanessa came up with every single penny. So I think to even imply that they're not a good neighbor is not a true statement. They're a great neighbor.
I think that was, yeah. Go ahead, Dan.
Before I ask the questions, I'd like to thank you, the commissioners and the staff, for doing the Mark Twain's Park. It looks nice. Thank you very much. I still have not looked at the fountain, water fountain on that basis. So, thank you. Now, the question is that I was a bit lost. When you say that Story County is, that land does not belong to Story County.
Oh, wow.
How can you do a quick claim if there's not, that's not your properties? Okay?
We're not doing the quick claim. It's a quiet title right.
It's not a quick claim.
Pending in front of the court will issue the deeds after the action, at the conclusion of the action.
So you're that means to say, if you say quiet, that means to say you're making a new deed, right?
The court will do that.
Yeah, they're making a new deed. But what happened, that means to say that there is already a deed, but the deed itself, in the previous deed itself, you all do not know who. My question now is back to the previous deed, what happened if the next of kin come and consolidate in 2 years or maybe in 5 years, in 10 years time? They come and claim. What is the status? How should Story County deal with that?
In a quiet title action, the person who's petitioning for quiet title has to notice anybody that they know. They have to specifically give notice. In other words, serve a summons of the pendency of the proceedings to anybody that they know might assert a claim to the title, and they have to publish in the paper four times, once a week for a month, and that's notice to anybody else that might make a claim. So if anybody else has a claim to this property, they better make it between now and when the court quiets title. Am I incorrect, Brian? Yeah. So you notice the whole world in a publication. So no one can come forward now and make claim to that property and go anywhere with it. Because once a deed is issued by the court, that quiets the title. That's why you're doing the quiet title action. So if sometimes people get lost in chains of title, and you might have a problem where you can't locate people that own some. They might have had, the best example of it is any of us that have a deed of trust and we paid the promissory note and the company that we had the deed of trust is gone somewhere and we never got a deed of reconveyance, The only way you can get good title to your house is file a quiet title action, name the title company and all the rest of the world, and a court will issue a title to you. Otherwise, if you go to sell it and the title company looks at it and you haven't gotten a deed of reconveyance, you're not going to be able to sell that property. So a quiet title action, the purpose of it is if there's a dispute about the title, is to get the title settled, and the court will issue a deed, and that deed is a good against the whole world. So once CMI goes in, and that's going to be on the 16th, the third Friday in the month, goes in, proves that they should get their title quieted, and the court issues that quiet title, if somebody comes along a year or 2 years from now, they're just out of luck.
As you were mentioning that it was advertised in the newspaper 4 times, now, you only advertise in Story County. What happened to the next of kin living somewhere else?
These are all.
I'm just curious because it will come back to us.
A paper that has general circulation in the area that you live. The Virginia City Chronicle is such a paper, and that's all you have to do. So it doesn't make any difference.
Well, what do you want us to do?
I don't know. I'm just puzzled. Okay. What is the effect in the future to our Story County on the backside? That's all. And because I also understand that under the federal treasure procurement, there's some things about this, but I have not finished making my research on that. Thank you.
Maybe, Janet, you might want to attend the court session and address your concerns with Judge Russell. The court will be on August 16th, I believe.
Whatever the third Friday is.
Yeah, third Friday of the month at 10 a.m. Right here. Go to court. Any other, Mark? But
okay, I'm Mark Phillips, Virginia City resident. 6th of August 2013, agenda item number 9, discussion before approval. My first concern again is in the agenda and also in the recommended motion, list only Comstock Mining Inc. I think to be clear and complete, the agenda and the motion and the record of this meeting should also reflect Comstock Mining LLC and Northern Comstock LLC is and also I think the motion should include the $19,000 payment. As far as conspiracy theories and, you know, and all that, just pretend for a moment what I believe to be true is the mining company's plans for these lots, especially now that the new Title 17 maps have been published, would be to take them, turn them into commercial residential properties and send the sewage right down the exploration mine holes, because the new maps, I've been trying to overlay it, but I believe they're on property that are now zoned commercial residential. Now, if what I say is true, when would the mining company start paying taxes at a rate that they were going to build someday?
And that answer I would defer to the treasurer, but I believe the mining company would pay taxes the minute they have free and clear title as so directed by the court. We intend to charge it.
So don't forget,
start writing those tax checks.
I'd like to make a quick comment if I
sure.
would. And primarily for the public's education. We have been studying this in depth for a number of days. So the information that's coming forward, at least to my desk, is not just arriving today. So we've been looking at this for a period of time. And I'm going to share with you, at least to my satisfaction, that on behalf of the county, that this is the very best decision that we could make under these circumstances. And I believe not to follow this path. would open us up to a lot of expensive litigation, the very, very strong probability of loss, and we would compound the problem. So, in my opinion, and I'm going to support this motion, is that after diligent research, I'm certainly certain that this is the right decision.
You know, and I'll just say that in, hopefully, I've been dealing with Berta Webster for 2.5 years, and that, again, that whole cemetery foundation thing is complicated, but I'm going to be filing probably on behalf of the Cemetery Foundation and Roberta Webster, another quiet title action, substantially similar to this. I'll name the county in it because we've got tax deeds on some property down there at the cemetery that we really, that it's the same situation. And this probably needs to be done in several areas in the county. And this is just the first one to come up. People established town sites on patented mine claims, and in fact, they did. Once the patented mine claim had been established, you can't establish a town site after that. So we've got people owning town site properties that don't really exist. So this is maybe just the start of cleaning up some of the titles around here, along with the BLM situation. So that's all I have.
I made one other subject that add to this conversation. I have approached staff, and I am asking staff to do some studies on behalf of the county there in Gold Hill. We all know today that the property is zoned commercial. That exists today. We also know that Austin Osborne is looking at the master plan within our community today as to the highest and best use for the property. And one of the things that I personally would like looked at is creating a redevelopment or an enterprise zone there that would entitle our community to government grants and or bonding and or special incentive funds for the redevelopment of areas like that. And so as we move forward, I absolutely will tell you I believe this is the right thing for us to do as a community, but at my desk it doesn't stop there, and I believe the other commissioners join me in this. There's a lot of opportunity in Gold Hill. We're not finished with that, and there are a lot of things that we look at in our rezoning, our master plan, our programs that can enhance our future. And so certainly we're going to continue looking at it from that perspective.
Well, I will say very briefly, I went through a quiet title process a number of years ago myself, and that's where I first learned about quiet title. So this was not a completely new thing to me. I had to refresh my memory a little bit, but essentially the points that I want to make are that Comstock Mining already owns that land. It is their land. That's number one. The question here is clearing this title thing, this tax lien that we have on it. We don't own it. We just have a lien against it for taxes, and we don't know why. We don't have any records on it. So if this goes to court, if it ever did, which I hope it doesn't, but hypothetically, if this went before a jury, the preponderance of evidence would show that it's their land. They don't have to pay us anything for it. The county loses, and then we pick up all of the attorney fees. So I think it's better to take the, and thank you for the generous offer, $19,000. You're not required to do that. Let's move on. And we have this problem all over Virginia City Gold Hill. This is not just a unique problem to Comstock Mining. This exists throughout this area. That's why we're petitioning Congress right now to withdraw BLM land in Virginia City and Gold Hill so that the people who own businesses and homes sitting on that BLM land have a clear title. They're not sitting on BLM land anymore. And so that's, and I know of many occasions here in town where more than one person has clear deed and title, and they the parcels overlap, and both of them have clear title and deed, but so there's a whole lot of these situations that eventually, as they come up, will be clear. So, with that said, would one of you gentlemen wish to make a motion?
Sure. I think the best way to remedy this is to move that we accept the settlement agreement between Comstock Mining and Story County in regards to the quiet title action filed by CMI in the First Judicial District Court, case number 17, RP000091E, pertaining to the following properties. Can you need me to read the parcels?
I don't believe we need to read the parcels in. They're part of the
following six parcels.
Okay.
I'll second the motion.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. Item number 10. This is a for possible action of TRI vouchers submitted. You know, we have some questions on those a little bit.
Certainly, Mr. Chairman, I'll start. And again, I apologize that there had to be a revised version of my staff report published yesterday. All that it added was it inserted a number that I didn't have at 4 o'clock in the morning when I was preparing this report. It did not have the total that we had paid to date, so that number is now inserted in there. And as we mentioned before, we could not put those numbers on the agenda item listing because we were still negotiating finality on about $12,000 of these items. And I also want to state, and I believe he's going to abstain or recuse himself, as Commissioner Gilman has not had any input or consultation in this matter whatsoever. It's all been done through Trash Legal Counsel, Bob Sater. Now, this is an annual process. If you think about how the developer agreement works, and we've talked about this a number of times, but just to review briefly, we took a snapshot picture of the earnings that the county realized primarily on taxes and permits, no sales tax. That's always been kind of nebulous because of the guaranteed share. But we looked at property taxes, any permits, any business licenses, those types of things, as that property was constituted in 1999. We entered into a developer agreement with the tri-partners that in essence said, okay, that's the base number. Now what we're going to do is we're going to look at the gross revenues that the county now gains as we build a Walmart distribution center, a PetSmart distribution center, a Toys R Us distribution center, or as newly announced, a Randa accessories distribution center. And we're going to take a look at those gross earnings, but we're also going to acknowledge that you're going to have some costs out there for added police services, fire services, county's provided services. So we're going to go through a formula of netting those out. You get to keep the first $5 million of truly, essentially, profit. And then after you reach that $5 million threshold, which we reached probably about 3 years ago, I believe, then you will begin to pay us back on each net dollar profit, if you will, 35 cents for the infrastructure that we've contractually agreed to, specifically roads, floodways, and public safety complexes and rail. So they did a massive amount of work. The interchange off of I-80 at USA Parkway, the bridge over the Truckee River, all the roads from Portofino to Milan to USA Parkway to the extension of Waltham Way. The work out there was done amazingly initially at the advance of the tri-property owners and specifically Mr. Roger Norman. We're obligated to pay that back. It'll probably be 40 or 50 years before we get there on that 35 cents on every dollar. The good news is, as Mr. Sater has briefed all of you individually, except for Mr. Gilman, that money that we owe TRI is interest-free. And that was apparently an art of negotiation that the county was absolutely firm in back in the late 90s. So TRI has done work. Primarily just finishing up a few cuts and works on roads that change as there are new sales out there in new locations. A little bit of work, as I recall, in Germany Circle. And primarily also a lot of advanced continuing work going on the extension of USA Parkway, both remaining through our county and in through Lyon County to connect Interstate 80 with Highway 50. Critical project, as Tom Hess mentioned earlier, because once that's done, that should allow NDOT to take maintenance responsibility for the entire road from 80 to 50 and get Mike Nevin and Public Works off the obligation for some huge issues on USA Parkway only. So this past year, there was a total work submitted of $28,482. Tries now rounding to the even dollar. So if you see 50 cents floating out there either way, that's why. They've asked for that amount of reimbursement. This goes through a very intense process, starting first with Dean Haymore, that verifies would discount work if there was any work to be questioned, and there were a few minor things that came up that were questions. Primarily, there was $12,499 worth of work done by Tri's engineer that we all know and work extremely well with that looked to be done outside the requirements in the developer agreement that they seek pre-approval, if you will, and pre-notification of the process. We've discussed that both with the engineer and with Mr. Sater, and they've assured us that they will go through that pre-approval process and that they will also provide additional documentation on any expenses that are done, such as what types of meetings are you going to with NDOT to get these things done, who's attending, you know, what's being accomplished, but they are necessary to really get the extension of USA Parkway done. So long story short, Tri has asked for approval of a voucher in the amount of $28,482 that we've given you the detail on each of those. Over the years of paying back, we have paid Tri $33,238,459.48. I know that's an awful lot of mumbo-jumbo math, but upon your approval of this $28,000+, it will be added to our current obligation, which is calculated and agreed to be $43,732,117.51. And then we'll be subject to payback under that formula that I mentioned before, mm-hmm. and subject to the independent annual audit that Cone Colodney does as well. And there are a number of people that I always thank for this. I mean, obviously, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Roger Norman. Lance has a huge role in it. Bob Sater is a gifted attorney and definitely represents tri-interest well. Cindy Gagliano and Vince, Cindy's down in the Poway office. And then our local team, Dean, does a huge amount of work on this, as does Stacy and Hugh. So I think we're almost finally in a groove. We're just hitting a few little bumps along the way, and we should be getting here within the next few months. Their 2012-13 submittals, and then you will see things beginning to start to pick up as well over the time, because as Mr. Gilman will probably say during Commissioner's Report, things are really popping out there, and we are talking about moving roads, extending roads, and that all falls within the developer agreement. So staff recommendation is you approve the vouchers for the amount of $28,482.
Okay, any comments on that item? Mark?
Thank you.
40, 50 million bucks among friends, big deal.
He's the interest rate.
Mark Phillips, Story County resident. Today's Board of County Commissioner meeting, 6th of August, 2013. This is agenda item. Oh, number 10, discussion for the possible action. Okay, on the agenda, we have TRI vouchers submitted from, can we all agree that's the 1st of July through 2011?
Yeah.
Or June 30th to 2012. When somebody reads this motion, Could we please include 2011 to 2012 fiscal year? Could we make that clear in the motion? And could we also, in the motion, make clear the outstanding balance to TRI in the motion? I've got $43,760,599.15. If we could please get that amount in the record. Hey, 5 or 10 years from now, I go back to the clerk's office. There'll be an agenda and there'll be minutes. And between the two of them, none of this information will be there. And of course, the staff reports will not be attached at that time. So if I go back 10 years, I would like to have this information. Oh, okay. Here's a good question. Okay, let's go to the voucher that's going to be signed today. Dated today's date, 6th of August, 2013, second paragraph. Reimbursable costs have been approved by a county board from determination of actual costs by the administrator. Well, here's that word again. Story County has no administrator. County commissioners have never appointed an administrator by resolution, so I don't know how we can use that word today.
Mr. Chairman, if I can address this while it's currently on the table, I would certainly agree with Mr. Phillips that it would be good to amend the recommended motion to include for the fiscal year July 1, 2011, sure, ending June 30, 2012. That's a good number. To insert any numbers in the motion, I think, would only cloud and convolute, because the only number pertaining to this really that's important is the amount of the voucher itself, the $28,000, the accounting of it, and this staff report and the vouchers themselves are retained on a permanent basis through our clerk's office. So Mr. Phillips is incorrect when he says they won't be available 10 or 20 years from now. They will be available. So.
Go ahead, Ron.
You can turn that back to zero.
No, you go ahead. No, 3 minutes.
I think TRI is a great place, and I'm happy with it, but I want the same conditions. Whenever I bought my lot, it was sagebrush, and it was rough. I spent money grading it. I spent money putting a road into it. I spent money putting a well on it. I spent money putting a sewer system in. And that's all infrastructure. So how about letting me bill back for all those costs at 33 cents on the dollar until I get all my money back for my infrastructure I spent? Somebody comes up here and moves in a lot up here, they got to pay a hookup fee for sewer, a hookup fee for water, and that's it. Bedell Beach has got thousands upon thousands of dollars of grading out there. And so why can't I be treated just exactly like TRI, Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Vice Chairman, I think he's got a hell of a deal there.
You know?
How do you argue with logic like that?
Just because of their size, you're going to beat me up because I'm old and little and poor. You know, Social Security check, a few bucks off the oil. That oil money only comes once a year. So, you know, you're going to beat the middle of January, and then you get pretty hungry for the next middle of January.
All righty.
Are you going to make a decision? Are you going to tell me an answer to this question?
I think you've got some great ideas.
As a district attorney.
As soon as you start bringing revenue into the county from your property, We'll share that revenue with you.
That tax money that I'm bringing in?
They pay taxes.
All right. Anyone else? Awesome. All right. Motion.
Okay, Mr. Chairman. Move for approval of the TRI vouchers submitted from July 1st, 2011 through June 30th, 2012 in the amount of $28,482.
You get it?
Okay,
you have to second this one.
Oh, and I have to second it. And let the record reflect that Commissioner Gilman has abstained. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, now we're into item number 11.
And resolution 13381. Special revenue funds.
Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, this is a house cleaning item. I've been trying to research this for quite some time. We don't really know why the town of Gold Hill and the town of Virginia City were created. There, as far as we know, I cannot find a resolution for such a thing. They have been operating pretty much with state and local taxes that come through the various regions, Gold Hill state and local taxes and Virginia City state and local taxes, and with that money in previous periods, there has been expenditures for pretty much just utilities that are associated with those two areas. Understanding in the budget process, there is no real reason for them to be here. We had an opportunity to say, look, let's do some house cleaning and clean this up, get them off the books. Since the business licenses then would refer to the Virginia City Tourism Commission, because it makes sense. It is from those businesses, licenses, that the tourism does its business. So it seemed logical at that time, and still does, that those businesses in Gold Hill and Virginia City that have state and local businesses or local licenses fees, that goes to Virginia City Tourism Commission. And with that, the expenses for those items, such as utilities, will now be absorbed within the general fund. And then in addition to that, what I would recommend is that we eliminate those two special revenue items for the town of Gold Hill and town of Virginia City.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of when we were talking about how come we have a jail fund.
You're absolutely right.
Jerry and I talked about that. So anyway, go ahead, Pat.
In part, I believe it's accurate to say both the Department of Taxation and our independent auditor have both been advised of our intent to eliminate these funds, and that they concur, and also that, again, for the record, that this in no way has any impact or even touches water or sewer in Virginia City, Gold Hill, or Silver City. This is strictly the business licenses and those things that we talked about.
So it essentially just eliminates one less step of rooting money around, and so it seems like logical.
And two archaic funds that were confused.
So any comments on it? Go ahead, Mark.
Mark Phillips, Virginia City. Discussion before action on item number 11. Okay, I got approval of 13-381. It eliminates the special revenue fund in the town of Virginia City. It should be special revenue funds. There's two of them, right? Of Virginia City and Gold Hill. Here again, the agenda is not clear and it's not complete. It should refer to those funds going to the VCTC special revenue fund. I think that would make it more complete. And also, I'm looking at, okay, there's two pages here. This would be the fund status of Virginia City, and then we got a page for Gold Hill. I'm looking at these revenues from Gold Hill, and as far as I know, there's not very many businesses down there in Gold Hill. Maybe the Gold Hill Hotel owned by the mining company. And I'm looking at merchandise license. Wow, I see zero to date. I go to liquor licenses, and I see zero in 2012 and zero in 2013. And I get the cabaret license. I know they have shows down there. Zero for the county in 2012 and zero for the county in 2013. So is this evidence that the Gold Hill Hotel has not been paying their own taxes?
And Mark, if I can address that, probably it will be something for Sheriff Antonaro and Hugh and I to look at. We handle liquor cabaret licenses, and actually anybody with a liquor license, differently than we handle general merchandise. Dean Haymore's office, Community Development, handles just business licenses, but if there is a liquor license involved, I believe we process 100% of the licenses through the Sheriff's Office instead. Mm-hmm. We can certainly verify whether Gold Hill has or has not paid their licenses, because we're very interested in that. I suspect we probably neglected to put that little three-digit code on there that says this is a Gold Hill or VC-based business. That's a manual thing that maybe with staff changeovers and everything, we might have missed that. So that's worthy of following up on.
I could see
an AR license as with Port Liquor and Cabaret. Yes, it is.
I could see them having about four or five licenses down there total.
Oh, yeah. Lodging, merchandise, food.
Restaurant.
Yeah.
The bar, the cabaret, the gift shop, all those are separate.
So my answer would be we're most likely, or as the sheriff has assured us, we are collecting. We're probably not crediting, and I'm glad Denny Dotson isn't here for once, because then that would be more money now going to the DCTC rather than to the general fund, but fair is fair. So,
Judy, come on up.
Judy Cohen, Story County resident, local business owner. I understand that those monies are just, it's just a clean house on that. Just put them into will be used. And I'll probably shock some of you, but since they're old monies, probably none of mine's in there for my business license. But because it originated from the business licenses, is it absolutely necessary for it to go back into the VCTC? Can you say certain percentage goes here? I'm not saying where, but does it 100% have to go into the VCTC? I'm just asking, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a matter we negotiate in the annual budgets. Are we obligated to do it? We're not obligated to give them a single penny. But historically, and I'm going way back now, I wish Mr. Petrini was here. Back in probably 1999 or 2000, we revamped the business license structure to both streamline it, and we increased it. We increased business licenses countywide at that stage. And there was an agreement that we being the county, would help fund the promotion of tourism in Virginia City. Way back when, we were probably or possibly contributing to the level of over $100,000, $113,000. And over the years, as money has got tighter and tighter, that has weaned greatly to where we're down part to $30,000, if that. So is there a law, an obligation, an ordinance? No. Is it kind of honoring the deal and trying to help Virginia City businesses with their promotion and tourist promotional efforts? Yeah, that's why.
Would you be willing to consider holding off on making 100% of that decision?
Well, we've cast budgets on the basis of that, and so is the VCTC.
But you've already used that in a budget? Is that what I'm understanding?
That's correct. In both budgets, theirs and ours.
Oh, so it's already been assigned?
Yes.
Oh, I thought it hadn't been.
No, and that's part of the annual, you know, budget hearings.
Okay, but I didn't know that this particular fund had already been assigned.
It has through the budget approval process that both boards went through.
Okay, I wasn't here for that. Okay, then I retract what I said. But when the financials are checked on results, you'll understand why. But thank you.
Thank you.
Janet?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Since you're talking about budget, as I can recall in the final budget, I don't think so there's a column set bracket, $11,000 from Gold Hill withdrawal, or $100,000 from Virginia City withdrawal as a bracket at negative figures. So I have not seen that. I may be wrong. I just can't recall. The first tentative, there is nothing. The final one, I'm not sure about. I strongly believe, I have to check it out to confirm with you all, that it was not taken out as a to withdraw from that that account. Now, under the business licenses, resolution stated that it's 90% transferred to VCTC. And it stated here also 10% is retained, but to the county itself for utilities and repair of streetlight. Now, why can't we use that money for the utilities like the water and sewage that has been increased recently? They need the money. They said they need the money. So $111,000, we can help them out. Now, on the business licenses itself, as I understand, I already asked for you all, what is the category, how many I have not received it. I'm fine, I still can wait. But my question is that these business licenses, as I understand and estimate by the VCTC's chairman telling me that it's about roughly about 70 business operations over in Virginia City. I do not know whether it's just only the restaurants or the shops or all these retail, or is it include with the home-based business licenses. Now, my analysis in this way, I do not, if you are taking $111,000 to benefit maybe 50% of the 70 business licenses, while you'd be taking $111,000 that benefit the residents itself, that is Gold Hill and Virginia cities, there's 900 plus residents. It could help them on the resident portions. Okay? So my question is now, we have already subsidized them 90% of the business licenses to a VCTC. And they have been making a lot of losses. One thing I don't understand is that the promoters has getting 80% of the profit of all events if they make profit. If they don't make profit, you're making losses. VCTC or county has to absorb it. The taxpayer has to absorb it. So how much losses are we going to absorb?
Yeah, wait 3 minutes, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
And I'd like to address a few of those.
Yeah, go ahead.
First off, the bracketed amounts, Janet, and I'll look at you for confirmation of this. Those bracketed amounts are estimates as to what we think the ending fund balances for both the town of Virginia and the town of Gold Hill may have been as of June 30, 2013. Those monies are not going to the VCTC. We're not handing them $100,000. We're not handing them $11,000. Those monies are going into the general fund to do exactly what you suggested, to help the general communities of Story County generically. So any efforts that we might be able to put toward the park in Mark Twain or the park anywhere else, those ton of general funds that help support Mike Nevin's buildings and grounds program. So the $100,000 is not going to tourism. What will go to tourism this year is whatever funds are raised from the business licenses, liquor licenses, cabaret licenses, gaming participation that we get through the state. Those monies will be going this year directly. The reason why we don't use anything to do with water and sewer, and again, I want to stress, this has nothing to do with water and sewer. Those monies, while they have traditionally been raised by Virginia City and Gold Hill, if we start
commingling enterprise funds, and I would think that as an accountant, you would know this, when you start commingling uses of enterprise funds, you're going down a slippery slope. The Virginia City Water and Sewer System funds are enterprise funds. They're absolutely segregated from any other revenue source. You don't pay a single penny, nor does Nicole, nor Gunther, but everybody else probably in this room does, except for Mr. Maddox and Bill. Okay, that's fine. You're right. But, you know, again, no monies go there. If we were to even commingle any of those monies, first off, it's opening up a Pandora's box. For instance, there are some residents in Gold Hill, the Gold Hill Hotel specifically being one, to the best of my knowledge, that does not pay for sewer services because we can't handle their sewage. They have to have their own septic tank at their own cost, just like you do. So to blend those two, it just can't be done. And I'm sorry, but I totally lost your third question. That's up to the chair. If she could restate the question, I'll give it my best answer.
Yeah, come on up and restate it, and we'll...
Okay, I understand what you're saying. Okay, you say water and sewage is enterprise. I agree with you, it's enterprise separately. My question now, because here is data, is utilities, all right? Now, why should we can use it for other things too, for the benefit to the residents of BCD? I'm not a resident, I know that. But I do care for Story County residents. And I see a lot of people over there, some of them, especially in Virgin Cities, I talked to a few of them. They are seniors. They are hard earning, trying to live a life, fighting to get to live it in this world.
Okay, I've got it. So to answer your question again, there's a misunderstanding over the word utilities. Utilities, as they have been used before out of these two town accounts, are simply paying for street lights overhead that provide general good for everybody. They're paying for the street lights in town that line C Street. That's all. Those are the only utilities that are being paid. They're not water, they're not sewer. And in essence, the $100,000 that is going from this fund back into the general fund, again, one more time, will help us do exactly what you're doing. It'll help us fund some of those programs, or $111,000 in ending fund balance. I'm not going to keep going because, again, many of us want to get to National Night Out. But lastly, I will tell you, you know, and this is a sermon that I give to everybody on my staff, it is not government's job to necessarily make money. As long as the cash registers ring in town for Judy, which I recognize that the VCTC has probably done some things that haven't helped you, like Americana Film Festival and others. But as long as the cash registers ring in town, people are staying room nights, then I think the VCTC, and I sat on that board for 11 years, I believe, I think they're doing their job. It's not always about making money. But those are questions that you need to ask of the VCTC, not this board, except in the context that we're looking at providing funding for them. And I think, as Hugh has mentioned, it's a no-brainer to take the business licenses from the community that's been generated here, hand it to them, and say, there you go, promote tourism, listen to your tourists. Austin indicated we're going to try to use that forum. I'll be there tomorrow as well, again, saying, we need to know from the not just the VCTC board, but the good businesses like Judy and others that show up. We want to hear what you guys want the county government to do, and that seems to be one of the more logical ones, at least until Mr. Steiner has Sheriff, you know, up and running really strong, and I'm excited to see what they might be able to do. So.
Okay. Dale.
Yes, my name is Dale Beeson. I live in Mark Twain. I heard this money was, some of it was used for streetlights. Has anybody been down and seen the street lights the county provides in Mark Twain? Two lousy lights, the one in front of the old fire station, which is now the community center, just down the way by the park. I personally have as much light, two lights, that I bought and paid for and put in, as the county does. You know, we've got people down there with business licenses. Janet's husband's got a business license and runs a business. So who is going to care about us? They always say, oh, Mark Twain just wants to be left alone. Well, I'm here to tell you, Mark Twain don't want to be left alone. Mark Twain wants not only their fair share of the pie, they want somebody else's share too. And in 2 weeks' time, I'm going to be back here, and I'd like somebody to tell me what they're going to do about my streetlight area, and also the water in the park. If we have to set up and buy water to have, put a tank in, whatever it is, we the people are entitled to water in the park. You got water in the park here, you got water in every park, and we paid for that park at $500 a piece. Dale Beach couldn't get a building permit until he paid $500 to the school for the school program, $500 for that park, and I want a drink over there. And there's weeds over there. There's a lot of stuff over there that you guys could spend money on. And this issue that I talked to that guy right here about, I expect in 2 weeks' time somebody to contact me about all the eyesores down there and ride around with me and start making notes of who the hell is and who the hell ain't. Thank you.
That's only 1.39.
It's a little off base since we weren't even.
All righty then. Are there streetlights down there legal? Have you ever gone down and looked at them?
My streetlights? Yeah, one of my
streetlights. Are they legal?
I had a resident from Mark Twain tell me today she does not want streetlights in Mark Twain, but no, there are no streetlights in Mark Twain that are part of the county except for those that are in the building.
Also, there's a thing with the dark skies down there. Is there, is there anything set up like that for the community would like a dark skies policy or?
That's countywide.
Countywide.
Dark skies. We do have one of the first projects we worked on when I started here was the dark skies ordinance. We do have that in place. And so that's for commercial buildings, it's for residential buildings, and it's for all outdoor lighting. And basically, even out of Tri-Center, you see a lot of lights on those big buildings. You can light it up, but you have to keep them downward directed.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, did you say something already?
Well, Chris, can you hear me for one more minute?
Sure, come on up. I just want you to know I'm keeping track of you.
I don't think you should. Can we get this motion clear? Okay, on the agenda and the packet referred to one fund, but I'm looking at the resolution. First line talks about special revenue funds. We get down to the fourth line, it says two funds, but when it gets to the resolution, Story County Board of Commissioners do hereby eliminate the special revenue funds. So we're talking about one fund and we're talking about two funds. Could we please declare that this is about closing out two funds? Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, the bottom line says the Story County Board of Commissioners do hereby eliminate the special revenue fund of Town of Virginia City and Town of Goldville. So I think that's pretty clear.
But there are two funds.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Item 11. Mr. Chairman, move for approval of resolution 13-381, limiting the special revenue fund of the Town of Virginia City and the Town of Gold Hill.
Second. I have a motion. I have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
You can put that on a singular or plural, however you'd like to.
And next, I'm going to jump to item 13, second reading for G Posse Liquor.
How about 12? You know, can you see here 12 today?
I jumped ahead.
I
had several conversations with people who have concerns about this particular issue, so I want to try and address some of those right up front and see if we can work through some of the issues before you gentlemen make your decision. First, I touch on Mr. Phillips' concern. He came down and saw me yesterday as far as the administrator for business license. The ordinance is very clear. The sheriff or the administrator appointed by resolution. So those licenses falling under my office are free and clear of all of that. I think Pat recommended I use the nana nana boo boo defense to Dane, but Dane's not here. So anyway, that's separate and apart from the administrator that Mr. Phillips brought up. As far as the G Posse, the purposes of the background investigation are to the stated purposes and the ordinance is primarily to establish fiscal responsibility and that they are going to be a viable business. In this case, they are nonprofits, so there's not really a fiscal note to that, much like St. Mary's or Fourth Ward, something of that nature. They have their license for the purposes of their events. We have completed the investigation on the Jeep Posse. There are some concerns as far as what their status is or what they may or may not have on file with the Secretary of State. We have checked their status with the Secretary of State, and they are now showing as active. They have a list of all the current officers on file. If there are additional filings or paperwork with the Secretary of State, that is between the Jeep Posse and the Secretary of State for purposes of licensing for liquor in Story County. They have met all of the requirements, and I would recommend approval of that license.
If we don't approve it, they'll just start working a still down there anyway. So, what are we going to do? Comments? Dennis?
You mentioned that there is a non-profit organization. I have checked with IRS if they are not listed as non-profit. I have looked through, today I have looked through Story County business licenses, law book. I don't see the companies at all, the corporation at all. So if they have no license in Story County, how can they apply for the liquor licenses? Thank you.
Now that was touched on under another agenda item, and I'll just brush on it very quickly. Anybody having a liquor license, brothel license, gaming license, or a couple of other little licenses that fall under the purview of the sheriff's office, we handle all of their licenses. So with the approval of this liquor license, we will be issuing their regular business license as a nonprofit along with their liquor license. And Janet, I understand your concerns, what we've talked about. However, as I indicated, for our purposes, they are on record with the state as having done what they've needed to do. If there are issues with the state or the federal government, that is between the Jeep Posse and those entities. They have satisfied the requirements that Story County has in the ordinance.
I'll give you an example too. When I was chamber president, I applied for a liquor license, and that's all we had because we didn't have a business, so we didn't have a business license. We just had a liquor license. Come on up.
As I understand from Story County Ordinance, all businesses has to be registered with Story County. So you're telling me now, and in the ordinance itself is stipulated. So you're telling me now, I know that business license, that is a legal licenses is under you, but other business than legal or brother all this is under the community development. Unless I'm wrong, is that right? Or is it all under you now?
Correct, you are wrong. If part of their license falls under the sheriff's office, then all of their license falls under the sheriff's office. Just like when we were talking about the Gold Hill Hotel on Crown Point, because they have a liquor license through my office, I handle their general business license, I handle all of their licensing, regardless of what it is, because it became too cumbersome with me handling this portion and the building department handling this portion several years ago. That was all split out where if they have anything under the sheriff's office licensing, then the sheriff's office licenses all of it, much like Commissioner Gilman's business. He's got a business that has several facets to it that don't involve brothel or liquor, such as the restaurant, but we license all of that.
Okay, thank you.
Mark has a question.
Mark?
Thank you. Mark Phillips, discussion before possible action, item number 13, second reading for, okay, legally this is the Story County Jeep Posse. Do we have a physical address where this nonprofit corporation will be doing their business?
On the application, it says Ice House, Ice Toll House. Road, and the actual numerics is 180 Toll Road, according to the mapping. But yes, we have the physical location of where the business is.
Okay.
Or the nonprofit in this instance.
Do we have, what type of application is this for business license? Is this retail, wholesale?
Liquor license on site. Liquor license, much similar to a bar, only nonprofit.
Okay. And who made the application? Who was the authorized?
The current president of the Jeep Posse, yeah. Steve Sheverell, made the application. All of the current officers are listed on the application.
Steve Sheverell.
It's the same as the officers listed on the Secretary of State filing.
Okay. I don't see a physical address for Steve Sheverell, just a post office box. And
you're looking at Secretary of State filing. The application, the liquor license application, has all of the information on it.
And can we agree that Hugh Gallagher is the director of the nonprofit corporation?
If that's what's listed on the Secretary of State's website, I would have to assume yes. Okay.
And Commissioner McBride, I didn't have time to look up if you're on record. Is a sworn Jeep Posse member in the recorder's office?
No, Commissioner McBride is not a member of the Jeep Posse.
Okay. My questions are through. Thank you, Sheriff. Okay.
Very well. Entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, move for the approval of the Jeep Posse's liquor license.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. My God. Okay, item number 12. Thanks, Jerry. Let's see, approval of Story County Public Records Policy.
Very quickly, we've got the policy. You can read it. I don't have it. There's a section that addresses time frame for responding to a request. It has 2 days. I'm recommending that be changed to 5. That's what the state statute requires, but other than that, this is Washoe County's public records policy. It's been tested. There's a couple of attorney general's opinions that have been issued on this, and I checked all the statutes that were cited in it, and they're accurate, so I think this is a good public records policy. It's a start. I'm going to need to develop a form. It'll be countywide. We'll need to figure out what departments in the county produce records and make sure that they've all got their fees posted in there. It's my recommendation isn't in here, but we can only charge what it costs us. For 8x11, I recommend that we charge 5 cents for 8x14, 7 cents, and then any other extraordinary, like maps and things like that, whatever our costs are, and we'll need to develop a fee schedule for those, but I haven't gotten to the department heads, I just haven't had time, and we'll, I'll inquire of the department heads what other things they might reproduce, like discs for Vanessa, she has a fee she charges, it's posted, we can only charge what it costs us, and this also has that, the 30-minute thing that Mr. Beach is talking about, if the request requires more than 30 minutes of county employees' time, it seems fair that the rest of the county shouldn't pay for someone to have to, 99.9% of the requests we get are with, we can comply with the request probably in 5 minutes, and right at the desk, there's only a few that we get that are beyond that, but if they're going to require more than 30 minutes of a county employee's time, they should have to pay for that county employee's time. Any questions, Mr. Gilman?
If we reduce all of this down to writing up the specifics of this?
The fees and...
Yeah.
No, not yet, but that...
So you want to just go ahead?
I'll come back before the board.
So you want to continue this? Or?
No, I want this policy to be adopted now, and
so
then we can... And the,
you can just...
We'll, okay. I'll come back. This, occasionally, if you all know, Pat and I and Vanessa meet on the Monday before these all meetings, right. And we go over the agenda, and if there isn't much on the agenda, then Pat says, well, Bill, why don't you come up with something? And so I cranked this out Monday along with everything else I was doing Monday. And so,
nothing to discuss on it then today, except just approve it.
Approve this, and then we can. We'll probably be back with some more.
Okay,
Mr. Chairman. One question. I'd like to ask staff to take a look at this the document and look through our county manager's office at creating a log for sign-in for all departments to create, carry, report, so at the end of the year we can quantify,
we
request
that.
The amount
yeah, so that
what's
have
happening.
That.
Yes, sir, please.
Yep. Yeah. We will develop it collaboratively with Mr. Maddox as far as logging the nature of the request, who's asking, what are they asking, any fees that were collected. We'll report that to you on a periodic basis. We also need to develop the form that is a request for public documents, and as Mr. Maddox has suggested, the fee schedules and notifications that have to go in each office to be compliant with this policy. So we will.
Yeah, and this gives us a good quick check on privacy matters, too.
Well, and it requires, you know, that if there is a question of whether or not we're going to produce the document at all, it gives, and they need advice from the DA, it requires me to try to respond within 7 days, and if I can't do that, then I have to notify the requester. And from what I understand, this I got from Washoe County. I talked to Paul Liparelli down in Washoe County. He pointed me to a couple of decisions that had been made, actually opinions that had been asked for from the Attorney General about this. The 30-minute requirement, the Attorney General has found that that's appropriate and that we can charge for that time. It's my understanding that at some point the Attorney General is going to develop what I would assume they hope, even though they don't have any jurisdiction in this area of public records, they're at least looking into developing a policy that if it's much different than this and seems to be better, that I could bring back and we could amend this policy to adopt that. But they haven't done it yet. The guy who, in the Attorney General's office that was tasked with answering public records questions, has retired, and he's not there anymore. I don't know who the new person is. The old guy was Ed Irvin, and I represented him years ago when I was in private practice, so I have a pretty good relationship with him. He indicates that they're working on a standard policy that the state's going to adopt for all of its departments and stuff. And it would probably be, if you have a whole bunch of people, you think for just a minute, oh, this is simple, we just have to produce documents. But there's an awful lot that goes into documents, their retention, their production. you know, some requests, some, you have companies that make requests like, we want this printout from your computers. Well, if you don't already generate, I mean, we have programs that generate certain information. If we get asked for something in addition to that, then it could take us 100 hours to accumulate that information outside the programs we've already got, or we could make somebody pay to get a programmer to come in and program our computer so it'll generate that report. So there's lots of issues. This doesn't necessarily address some of the more recent technology, i.e., electronic media. And when I talked to Liparelli about that, he said Washoe County is going to probably go back and potentially try to address that issue of where someone comes in and requests. You know, the more we get on the internet, it's available on the internet, they can print it out themselves. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think a question's arisen here as to, you know, about providing disks versus providing documents. And there's some things that haven't been addressed, mostly because of new technologies that came into existence since this policy's come up. That stuff we can address when we get to it. So, okay. Any other questions?
I have none. Dale does.
Yes, I do. 3 minutes or five or whatever you want. What's the difference?
My problem is this smells like you're trying to restrict what I get, and they've showed me they do. That chap right there, I wrote a letter, enumerated them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I guess he scammed them all together and decided that they'd take over 30 minutes. So I haven't got anything. I told him, give me 30 minutes worth. I haven't got anything. Okay, I have a working relationship with an assessor. But we get these people mixing stuff up. They say, oh, that's stored with confidential stuff, and it's going to take a lot of time to separate it. The school is, oh, that's got student stuff in it, and it's off-site. I want to look at BUM's 5 years of construction with the school. Hundreds and hundreds of dollars just to have them let me look at it.
Reasonable.
And that's what this is getting here. I don't think it is. And I've got an attorney that don't think it is, but that'll be another horse. But it just smells like you're just trying to step on it. It's just like cutting me out of here saying, well, the first thing we did is got rid of Dale Beach when we moved the public comments to the end instead of the front. And that's he, big time. And let me tell you what, I got a son that's going to retire on the end of the year. He's going to turn 55. And if you ever seen apples that didn't fall far from the tree, he's a spitting image of daddy. So he's going to be here getting his 3 minutes and 3 minutes and 3 minutes. Okay. And so is anybody going to do anything with this fellow back here and make him answer mine and give me my 30 minutes worth of information? Or is he just, I'm just out of luck. Do I go get an attorney and sue the county?
Yes. Yes, you do. District Court.
Mr. Phillips?
Mr. Phillips?
At the floor.
I asked Mr. Phillips to help me because I'm hard to hear.
He can't do it, but I'd like to ask the district attorney. He's got two different questions going here. You're going to talk about your problem with Austin Osborne, or you're going to talk about your problem with this?
Well, that's the problem. What Austin Osborne's doing to me and the other agents are, one of them told me, I got to go to the DA. They shipped it over to the DA, and I hounded him. I got other things to do, blah, blah, blah. And finally I said, forget the crap. I don't need it. Did you give me anything at all?
I've gotten you things.
I'm talking about the stuff that I asked for from Vanessa right there. I asked her for some documents on people, and you says, well, that could be private. I want to be email. I want copies of emails from, like, Pat Whitten's email station. Bing, bing, bing. I want to read the whole thing for a week. And they won't give it to me. He says, oh, no, he's got to check it out and see if
you want to bring that up under public comment? Because right now, Mr. Beach, we're under the approval of the public records policy.
That's the public records.
You're off track.
Oh, am I? Okay, take the time off. I was off track.
You have a question about the public records policy.
Yes, I do.
That's the district attorney, but not your other issues. Okay. That's not.
How are they going to address me and my issues on public records?
Well, we're not going to address it here through counsel.
You guys aren't the ultimate answer?
So, all right.
Is my time up?
Jen.
Yep.
Mona.
First of all, I'd like to say thank you to everybody involved in this. Policies like this support what the recorder's office does, and it allows us to do our job even better. However, there's a few things. The first one was the five-day thing. The only other thing I just want to make clear is that the recorder's office charges $1 for a copy, and that is laid out in statute under NRS 247.305.1b, I think. And we are not, yes, we will not be cut down to 50 cents. That was came about from Senate Bill 74, and that only affected basically the clerk's records. It has not affected our office in any way.
So then that should be deleted then.
Yeah, we've had a few people come in, and they're kind of like, you know, I thought you were going to cut down your fees, and I don't want that to come back here or anywhere else saying, you know what, they are charging a dollar, you know, and most of the time we explain to them, you know, digital records, but how we do this is, I mean, it's all set by statute. It might change in another 2 years with the next legislative cycle. If they went after the clerks, I mean, the recorders are coming next. But in the meantime, I just wanted to make sure that I kind of put that out there.
And you've also, in my opinion, done a tremendous job in getting more and more documents. You're a model.
Yeah.
Getting more and more documents available on the web where the 2.5 people that we allow you to have on staff, you know, aren't unduly tasked with trying to provide stuff.
Yeah.
So I think that's very reasonable.
You know, the more that we get
things out. I think with Jen's background, we should have her inquire into. I know she doesn't have a lot to do, but she's got a background in information management, I believe, yeah. And so at least that's what she said when you were running for office. And maybe we should consider having a panel of people look into digitizing our documents more than what we have to this point.
Because we will have the capability on the web with this transition and migration in-house.
And then when Dale wants a document, he can just go get it himself and we don't have to deal with it.
At the last National NACO conference that we went to in Washington, D.C., I went to a seminar on just this very thing. And a buck a page is pretty much a standard across the country, number one. Number two, nationally, the states are seeing more and more requests for documents because we have more documents. 100 years ago, we didn't have to keep as much stuff. Now we do. So the records requests are increasing. It's pretty much a standard. You charge the hourly rate for the employee, the lowest paid employee who is capable of producing the documents, as far as documents that are stored off-site in state archives. That's what we do with records. That's per NRS. That's why this stuff is there. And so retrieval of those documents costs money, and that's passed on to the individuals. They normally give you, as Bill has said, the first half hour is free. I think that's pretty darn good. And then they divide that out, an hour is split up into 15-minute segments. You round to the nearest 15 minutes. But this is, you know, nothing unusual. So I think we've been pretty darn good here, and we get more and more and more, and
And
it does eat up time.
And we have developed a form in the office for records requests of personal nature and those for not personal.
Yeah.
So I can send those to you.
Yes.
And do you log those as well?
Yeah, we do.
Can you send both to Bill and to me the log and the record request form?
Okay.
Yeah, and confidential documents are confidential documents.
Yeah, we can't exactly.
There's no questions. I mean, it's just, that's it.
Well, sometimes whether something's confidential or not is a question. And we'd have to engage in what's called a balance.
And for your benefit, Dale, I had several OMLs filed against me a number of years ago for not releasing documents. And I won those based on the fact that they contained confidential information.
Well, I understand that. I don't want confidential. But they seem to be mixed up, so I can't have them. They put confidential over in the regular class.
That's,
5 years ago, the school district didn't do that.
So, anyway, Mark?
Thank you. Go right ahead.
Go.
Mark Phillips, Stark County resident. Discussion before the action on, where are we? Number 12. Okay, this is respectfully Mr. Maddox. I'd like the record to reflect, I object to this whole concept, and here's the reason why. Chapter 239, Public Records of State and Local Governments, is specific and very clear about all these issues. In Chapter 239, it was in the mid-90s, laws were passed establishing a committee on the retention and destruction of public records. Now they're called the Government State Records Committee, and they publish a complete list of local government record management programs. I mean, from administration to assessor to business license and permits, county recorder, fair and rec board, law library, planning commissions, already spelled out specific what documents should be available, how long they need to be kept, how they are destroyed and archived. This, I believe, this is totally uncalled for, and over the years, I've been stonewalled, snickered. Statute does allow me, if I properly request a document and somebody tells me no, I can fast track to district court. Judge will order the person to give Mark the document he just requested and pay his attorney fees too. So what I'll do, no matter what you do, I'll take this paper and I'll mail it to the State Records Committee, and I will have Jeffrey Kintock take a look at it and mail me his thoughts. Thank you.
All right.
There isn't anything in this ordinance that it isn't taken directly from Chapter 239. So this is just, Chapter 239 is the bones, and we're adding a little meat to it, and that's all we're doing. But if Mark wants to send this to anybody he wants to send it to, he can. This has been, this policy has been reviewed by the Attorney General and is found to be appropriate. So, there is, as far as records retention, I think there's another, I think Vanessa has mentioned to me that there's probably an ordinance that we need to pass at some point on records retention that we haven't gotten to, and it's just one of the things I haven't got to.
Yeah, we're not. Anyway, we're here discussing strictly whether we're going to proceed. So, got a comment, Jen?
Thank you, General Houts. We have talked about it, this in electronic version, and you mentioned just now too. If the board is going to pass this resolution now, excluding the electronic indications, so That means to say, if I'm going to request some documentations, which can be put into electronic, so I'm going to pay for it on that basis. Will it be right to incorporate the electronic version together before you pass these resolutions? This policy? Thank you.
Okay. Well, we haven't written a policy yet, so we don't know what it's going to say.
Well, I want this passed as a start. We'll address other issues that she just raised. You know, to a degree, we've talked about things for a long time and never done anything about them.
Yep.
I've sporadically done research on this, talked to Paul Liparelli, who's the chief counsel for the Washoe County, reviewed some other public records policies, talked to Ed Urban, who was at the time he was at the Attorney General's office, the person you called and asked questions about public records. This is a start, it's not the finish, and we got more things to do. But if we don't start, then we'll be back here in 6 months, just like the decorum talking about it. We'll put this on the books, and then we'll add to it.
Okay.
Good. I'll call for the motion. Move for approval of Story County Public Records Policy.
I'll second motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, Austin. Community development for licensing boards.
Austin, if I may, right quick, go down to the bottom H before you start.
Battleborn, correct. There's some changes to it that I want to make sure. H should be Battleborn Munitions.
Yeah, it's a spelling error there.
Battleborn.
Oh, and E, okay, all right.
Also, my understanding is, and I believe this would be the proper placement, is that this company has gone to Sparks and are not looking to locate here in Story County.
Not?
At this time. That's my understanding, as of this morning.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Commissioner Gelman. Community development's recommendations, like I usually do, is I'm going to start with a continued and ask for a continuation of, and I'm not sure how you want to handle H, if you want to just go ahead and continue it, and then if they don't follow up with moving forward, then they would go away, deactivate. So to continue B, Amplis LLC, E, AB Custom Woodworking, F, Nevada Distribution Services, G, Schwab North America, and H, Battleborn Munitions, and also make a note of the Born misspelling.
Okay, motion to continue.
Move to continue. B, E, F, G, and H.
Second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And then we recommend to approve A, C, and D. A is Susan Nelly, and C, Lone Elk Gallery, and D, Rocky Mountain Construction.
Okay.
Move for approval of A, C, and D.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you, Austin. Public comment.
Thank you.
Did you say public comment?
Yeah. Public comment.
Yeah, more championship. Yeah. Several reasons, but.
Okay, that's not my municipal building that you're looking at. I think my voting process.
Jump right in there, Dale.
Yes. Let's go back to whenever I was off track. I think we had a clear operation of giving people public records, and I got almost anything I asked for from Holly, and I haven't got one document from this man out here. Not one document, one page. And I don't get any answers to my letters, and I don't like it at all, and so I'm going to bring them to here. But let's talk about that land next door. I'd like to recommend that we get that appraised without the asphalt, just the parking lot, bare dirt, and see what the value of it is. So we can bring that to the forefront.
You may
okay.
do so.
What?
You may do that.
You may?
You may.
Okay, can I get it appraised?
You have my permission.
Will you accept my appraisal, Mr. Chairman? You're burning up my finish. Turn me back. Will you start me over? Let's talk about staff reports, propane. I discussed this with Marshall. And we have three propane rates. One's the county, which buys a lot of propane, and their money's good. And then we've got one for the county employees that is less than we the people. So us people that's out there are, you're second, making us third-class citizens. And it's wrong. If it's good enough for the public employees that work for the county, then it's good enough for their general population. And that's the thinking that I don't like in the county, is they're always thinking about us. Well, there wouldn't be no county government if there wasn't none of the we the people. If there wasn't 4,000 bodies here, we wouldn't need any of you folks.
We are you.
You people are supposed to be public servants. And we're not getting treated that way. We're not got anybody servicing. Do you think he's going to come down within 2 weeks and let me show him around my neighborhood of the things that need cleaned up? I doubt that. But I'll be back in 2 weeks to find out. And would you consider moving the public comments to the first of the meetings? Or is that in stone, see? Because that has begotten me. And if I haven't talked for 40 minutes before this is over, I'm going to be very, very shocked. Cut the time off if he's going to talk.
No.
I get 3 minutes. Mr. District Attorney, do I get 3 minutes of talk time?
Dale, you're done. Sit down.
Throw me out. Where's the sheriff?
Just let him have his 3 minutes.
Huh? I get 3 minutes of talk time, Mr. Chairman. You don't get to like, I don't have to say what you want me to say. I get to say what I like, okay? And I'm confirmed for, till that ticks three, I get to talk. The Attorney General has already said that I get to talk for my 3 minutes on my subjects. You can't tell me I'm off subject because it's about, we're talking about the two things that I find most repulsive about the county is inefficiency and incompetency. Those are the two things that I'm fighting in the county. We're getting almost 57, 58, 59, 3 minutes. I'm done.
Did you throw me out of this meeting?
No.
I want to answer a couple of your questions.
Well, I'll be back in 2 weeks for the issues that you don't deal with today by then.
Okay.
Oh, I got to turn these in. There isn't any more.
Come on up.
Would you put my name on the
Do you want answers to your questions?
Say what?
Do you want answers?
Oh, no. All I want is my 3 minutes. I don't want to hear anything you guys got to say. Just write it down on a piece of paper and mail it to me.
All right.
I just like to talk.
Thank you.
Mark Phillips, Story County. Wow, item number 15, public comment. It's almost 5:30.
Well, make it
August the 6th, 2013. Okay. Public comment. Oh, it was about 5 years ago. Public comment was always at the end of the meeting. I kind of like sitting through a whole meeting quietly and being able to stand up and have the last word. And I remember at the last meeting I asked that maybe if public comment was at the end of the meeting, I could just say what I was going to say and nobody would say anything back. But okay. My point here, in public comment, okay, in a timely fashion, I made two requests to get on today's agenda, and both requests were denied, and that's fine. I would like the record to reflect. Well, in the future, if I make this kind of request, I would hope that it would be included as correspondence, even though I've made the effort to do my research and make a request to be on the agenda. I respect, well, no law says that my request has to be put on the agenda, not at all. One request was to appoint a member of the VCTC to represent the county at large, and I quoted statute, and the reason for that was at the last VCTC meeting, the chairman, Ron Gallagher stated he represented nonprofit corporations in Story County. Well, my red flag went up. There's no such thing. And if he is actually, well, Mr. Witten, it's unclear to me who is the member representing the county at large, because there's been a lot of people who have said that they're not represented in other parts of the county. River District, Mark Twain. But if there's somebody on the board that's supposed to be representing the county at large, that would be good to know. And my other request was approving that the county's expense a corporate fidelity bond for VCTC treasurer. Well, I went through this. It took me months last year to get a bond for Doug McQuaid by 4th of July. And I find out a year later that Denny got the cheapo bond, not the real corporate fidelity insurance against somebody actually taking the money and run. So what's going to happen at tomorrow morning's meeting? Hopefully Doug McQuaid will come into the clerk's office and, Jokover, Scott Jokover, he could take his oath before the 8:30 meeting and be qualified to vote at tomorrow's meeting. And tomorrow's agenda is appointing a treasurer. The statute is clear. That's an election. So, if there's not enough members there tomorrow that have taken their oath, then I'm hoping that happens. Hey, okay. Well, you elect the treasurer tomorrow. As commissioners, you will need it at the next meeting to approve and pay for the corporate fidelity bond. Thank you.
Nada?
I have a comment.
Go ahead.
Thanks. Not to beat a dead horse, but two or three things come to mind.
Start that clock again.
I want to beat the dead horse. But I'd like to make a public comment. First of all, for those that are here, this board does a hell of a lot of research before we come to these tables. We don't just come sit at the table and look at these agendas to make a decision. There's a lot of effort and a lot of hours and a lot of time personally spent by everybody here to understand what we're looking at. And so I'm going to say that I appreciate the public comment. It has its merit and rewards. But because the public comment is becoming so popular and the meetings are grinding on for inordinate amounts of time, and that seems to be getting larger, not smaller, I'd like to suggest, Mr. Whitten, Manager Whitten, that we consider and run up the flagpole starting our meetings at 10 a.m. instead of 2. And if we could take a look at changing our agenda, and perhaps we could run for a couple hours and then take a little lunch break and refresh ourselves and come back and finish up.
I like that.
I would vote that way, and I'd appreciate we'd give us some consideration to amending our program.
I don't want to jump over Marshall if he has any comments, but I also am seriously looking at instituting sign-ins for public comment using a form, and you'll have to put down what your comments are, who you are, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I think we probably ought to have some kind of a form for that. So that will be one of my recommendations. And Marshall, go ahead.
I agree with Commissioner Gilman. In the years ago, when prior to Bob Kershaw becoming a county commissioner, the meetings at that time started at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
And they changed it to 2 p.m. to accommodate his work schedule at Circus Circus. And so I know a lot of people in business and a lot of people in other government agencies,
yeah,
I think they would prefer to get an earlier start too. Because,
yeah,
when we hold people over, especially, you know, people that are on the clock, I mean, we're not. We're on salary, but so it doesn't make any difference.
But we do hold a lot.
But we hold a lot of other people over, and it's not fair to their employers or to staff to keep them in the late hours. You know?
And so this is our meeting. This is not the public.
That's why we put this on an agenda,
yeah,
to discuss.
Yeah,
so maybe to recommend Mr. Wick could put it on the next kind of commission meeting. This isn't agendized.
Yeah, agendized.
So going into discussing it very much is a.
Okay.
Doesn't it just fall under the old commissioner board comment?
Well, yeah, but then you start to discuss it, so it starts more.
I think Lance, the real
fundamental issue here is we can't really take action based on forward comment.
No.
Bill's at
it. I wouldn't think of it.
Or discuss it anyway. Might be on the next agenda. And then there was another issue about, that those rules of decorum have a provision in them that the chair can, but until we pass those, I don't think, again, anything we do has to be in writing, either on the agenda or in an ordinance. So maybe we could, when that comes back, we could pass that, and then again, at the same time, maybe agendize the discussion of requiring written sign-ins.
Okay, and I have some other things I need to get over to you on that decorum thing, too. Well, I have no comments, so we're done.